Paul.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
It's Wake Up Call. Glad you can be with us. Tony D, Ron Culver. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Guess what sporting event did go on over the weekend? NASCAR did it again.
They did it again.
They ran one of those iRacing simulations, this time running at Texas Motor Speedway, the track they were supposed to be at this weekend. Timmy Hill, who I hate to admit I never heard of, but nevertheless, he won amongst 35 drivers that participated in this online race. And then IndyCar got in the same thing. They had 25 drivers racing at Watkins Glen.
Why not?
This is becoming more popular than they realized. They had a Fox Sports 1, who was broadcasting the one a week ago. They had almost a million people tuning in
now
to watch it.
I did catch some of the highlights. There seemed to be a little glitch, though. I don't know who was driving the. I can't remember the number of the car. It was a green one.
Right.
It seemed to have spun out like it had hit someone. But there was no car there.
No car around? Yeah.
How frustrated would you be? I'm not sure who the driver was in that one, but I would be so frustrated if that was me. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, That's crazy. That's nuts. Oh, but it seems to be working for the sport. It is. The drivers like it. Fans like watching it because there's nothing else.
Okay, how soon is there going to be betting on it?
I know. Why not? A friend of my friend on Twitter, he said, listen, if I disappear, I bought a car seat and a steering wheel to be a part of this. I was like, I don't blame you. I was thinking about the same thing. I was like, oh my, because this is, I mean, when you watch it, this is great graphics.
So if I do this, if I was to be a part of this, do I get NASCAR cred?
I think you do.
Like, is there a way I can go up against some of these guys?
Well, I think there is. I think there are races that these guys have entered in on, like, just public, the public, you know, rooms. Or, I don't know what you call them when you sign up. And I think some of these guys have raced against people online to practice and get the feel for
it. So much fun.
It's got to be a blast. Hey, listen, well done using the technology and the innovation. I know we can't do it for every sport, but NASCAR can and the IndyCar can. And, hey, listen, it's popular.
You're listening to Wake Up Call. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Wake Up Call. And this portion is brought to you in part by Hims, the best choice in ED medication and men's wellness. Visit forhims.com/easy. That's forhims.com/easy. So when will Major League Baseball get back to work? Well, we don't know, obviously. We don't have a date, but we do have stipulations. Rob Manfred sat down with the Players Union and came up with guidelines that would allow for the return of Major League Baseball. In what state of the country would baseball need to have in order to return to the playing fields? Here are the three things that Major League Baseball wants. No bans on mass gatherings that would limit the ability to play in front of fans. The commissioner is considering the use of neutral sites where it's economically feasible. Now, that's important because if you have a situation in the country where a lot of the country, but not all of the country, can return to some business as usual because the virus is contained a little bit better, and in some pockets of the country, it's really bad and it's worse, and there still needs to be serious quarantine. Major League Baseball could come back, at least with that one stipulation, and then play games at neutral fields for certain teams. That's at least on the table. But here's the other caveats that I don't know if the part one makes sense. There are no travel restrictions throughout the United States and Canada. Okay, now that's a big problem because if you said earlier that if there are certain parts of the country that can get back to normal and other parts of the country that have to stay quarantined, that would mean travel restrictions would still be taking place to those areas. So if they're looking for a blanket no travel restriction across the board in the United States and Canada, it makes part one kind of obsolete. The idea that you could play a neutral site based on certain hot spots of the country, now you wouldn't need to go that far because there still would be travel restrictions. But then all of it, both of those are trumped by the third one, which states medical experts determined that there would be no health risks for players, staff, or fans, with the commissioners and unions still be able to revisit the idea of playing in empty stadiums. Okay, you leave it open to play in empty stadiums, but here, the first part of that, I'd like to know who says that. Again, this is something I've been saying since the start of this pandemic, which is, who is the one that's going to tell us everything's okay? Who's the one that's on television saying, based on the scientific evidence, based on what we've determined, based on the studies that we've done, this is now contained enough to get back to business as usual? Now, I'm not saying that facetiously, and I'm not saying that with sarcasm. I am saying that as an honest question. Who gets to do that? Who gets to say that? Who gets to make that judgment?
So, you know, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer in all this, but I guess that's 18 months away.
Well, right when I saw those three, I went, okay, never. It seems like, okay.
Until we have the vaccine?
Right. Until we have the vaccine. That's when baseball comes back? Right? Like, we might be back to, okay, we might be in a situation, and again, I know I'm talking a little bit out of my element, but I'm just kind of throwing some idea out there. We could be in a situation where things start opening back up again, but there are some travel restrictions.
Right.
Okay? That would, again, then baseball doesn't come back. We could be in a position where there's no travel restrictions, but you can't guarantee people's safety. No baseball. There could be a position where we could have neutral sites, but again, can't guarantee safety. No baseball. These seem really, really generic stipulations we're returning to action.
Generic, I mean, or you can't have one. It's almost like if try to get all three of them to be on the same page. That's
right.
18 months from now. Feels
that's
like
a long time from now. Like, we might have travel restrictions for a long time. It doesn't mean we're not getting back to work, but we may just say, hey, guys, go back to your local areas, go to work, but you know, do me a favor, don't get on planes, don't travel, don't, you know, kind of stay in your area. You know, we're going to limit travel to certain, you know, whatever it might look like. I don't know, whatever. That means baseball, no, that's it, we can't travel. And even if medical experts say, yeah, you know what, we've got this contained now, we've got some medication for it, drugs to help with it. You know, we can't guarantee that that you're going to be safe from this. We can't eradicate it, but the health risk is low. Well, what does that mean? No baseball? Because they said there is a little bit of risk here.
But that's the thing, though. I mean, listen, you know, the coronavirus, it's a virus. It's a flu. It's a really gnarly flu bug.
Right.
That is highly contagious. That's what sets this one apart from all the other colds and flus that hit us every single year. You're still able to, you go to a stadium, you're still able to get the flu. And I guarantee we've all been to a stadium, we've all been to an arena where someone had the flu that was sitting near you and you didn't get it.
Right.
And coronavirus can act in the same way. It's just this one is highly contagious. And then if you do get it, I mean, I was reading up, there's like 8 different strands of it, but there's one strand that, you know, gets you on a ventilator, gets you close to death. And that's the strand that we're all focused on. That's the strand that we fear the most. But there's other strands where you just, you know, I've seen some of these actors who have gotten it. And it's like, yeah, I had a little coronavirus for a couple of days and then it's gone, but I still got a quarantine for 14 days. And it's like, all right, you had a cold and then it went away, but it's technically the coronavirus. And so, I mean, it's kind of worrisome. I mean, I want sports back as much as possible, but the highly contagious part of it, that's the part that we are having trouble getting past.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that while you can understand the thought process behind this, and I completely agree, These are things that you'd absolutely want as a commissioner. This is the perfect world scenario of you coming back to work as an organization, as a business, where there is no ban on mass gatherings, no travel restrictions, and medical experts say that there are no health risks. But there's always going to be a health risk, right? This isn't going away.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way you can get all through. I can see the first two happening. You know, I can see hopefully now by April 30th coming into May that we can start gathering socially again. I mean, we saw it in Wuhan. You know, Wuhan was on lockdown for like 2.5 months. I'm certain that maybe midway through April, we'll see Italy being able to see the light of day again.
Right.
And, you know, and it'll be a trickle-down effect, just like this thing was as it spread across the country. It was just a trickle. You know, just kept moving from one part. And it's just this wave. And once this wave passes us and heads off and hopefully is done because it can't cross the Pacific Ocean or something, you know, we're done with it. And then, you know, the CDC can still work on, you know, getting a vaccine or something.
But if you're Rob Manfred and you're looking for a medical expert or medical experts to tell you there are no health risks now,
you're not getting that.
When is that going to happen? Tell me, do you think that's happening anytime soon?
But, and then on top of that,
mid-May or mid-June, you're going to get, it's all done. We're
good
doctor,
now. Which doctor are you going to listen to?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Which person are you targeting for that?
I guess it's Fossey, right?
Right? Yeah, I guess him. Right?
Once he says we're all clear, it's like, okay, let's go. Because it's not going to be, you know, your local doctor at the hospital who says, oh, yeah, this area is fine.
Right. So, again, who are you looking towards, right? Because you can find there's some spectrum here, right? There's going to be some doctors that say, well, we overblew this, right? We overblew the amount of people we thought were going to die from this. We're changing our models. We're not going to have 1 million dead like we kind of thought. And then you might find other doctors that go, yeah, but you know what? The verdict's still out on this. We could still see a wave. So if you're Rob Manfred and also the players union, who are you listening to? Who makes you say it's good, right? Now you're hoping, again, you're hoping that if one and two are true, that you would find number of doctors that would then give you three, right? So you're hoping that if across the board you are seeing mass gatherings, And it's okay now to get together with your friends and loved ones and family and whatnot, and you can travel around the country with there's no restrictions, then you're hoping by getting one and two, then three is almost automatic. That three comes in and says the medical expert's saying that there's no health risk. But there's no guarantee of that. That's what I'm curious about in terms of what Major League Baseball is exactly looking for. Here's basically this in a nutshell. If you're Rob Manfred, you're not getting back. You're not getting 2019. You're not. You're not getting that. You're going to get some sort of concern of this for a good period of time. This isn't going away.
And then on top of that,
it just means listen, people are going to get together. They may get this and have to go run to the doctors and get treatment for it.
And you know what? I mean, we do have to look at the realization part of it all too. NBA season could be done. NHL season could be done. MLB season may not even happen. But I am going to give me hope on football.
I'm still keeping out hope for football. We still got a good chunk
of
away.
You might have to start a little bit later football, but you're going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, because I'm looking at it this way, like with baseball, if for whatever reason we as a country can't get sports started up until August, do we really want baseball at that point? Because you're going to have, a couple of weeks of spring training?
Yep, I agree.
And then the quality of baseball, I mean, I understand, you know, we had people saying, oh, we can go to a Christmas Day. It's like, no, you can't.
No, you can't.
Some of the best teams play in the worst environment.
No, you can't do that.
You know, you can't have a Twins game, a home game at all, October on.
Yeah, you can't play in the middle of the winter. Come on.
No.
You're right. You're exactly right. Listen, I said this last week. I think there is a smorgasbord buffet of sports that could hit us from August all the way to the end of the year. Everything is getting pushed. You know, all these events are getting pushed towards those dates, right? Like, I kid you not, we could have if we get back in the clear and everything's back to normal, and you get football, you could have college football, you could have NBA, you could have baseball, if you get it started sometime in June, along with a Saturday that includes the Kentucky Derby and then a couple of NASCAR races and, you know, like, you know, the Masters or U.S. Open, you could have a August, September, October where the calendar is loaded with sports,
yeah.
Right? Loaded with sports. But it, again, I'm still curious as to who's the guy that says, okay, all good. All good. Everybody now, go back to work.
Yeah.
Who gets to say that?
Because I'll be honest with you, it's not going to be a politician.
No.
Especially the one who changes his mind every so often.
No,
I'm not naming any names, but he, you know, keeps changing his story all the time. It's got to come from a doctor.
Yeah.
And are we going to listen to who? Are we going to listen to a CDC? Is it Dr. Fauci? Is it, you know, the other woman who's up there who happens to be who's a doctor as well, who pops in and out every once in a while? I don't know who it is that's going to give us the all clear, but it's one of those things. Like, even if you give us the all clear, how likely are we going to be to rush to a stadium full of 30,000 people?
I agree. So that's giving you at least an update. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk to Joe Person of the Athletic in Charlotte on the Carolina Panthers. The situation with Cam Newton, how nasty was it getting towards the end? Where does he see Cam Newton going? Because he has not been picked up yet. We'll continue along on SB Nation AM. It is a wake-up call with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D. Feeling so faithless,
lost under the surface. O'Reilly Auto Parts help you make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, some breaking news. Tokyo Olympics.
That could be sponsored by Toyota. Tokyo. We don't know.
I was thinking the auto parts place. All right.
Don't they manufacture in Japan?
They are, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Right? Tokyo Olympics have a date for 2021. July 23rd are going to be. This is important. This is important because when they canceled the games last week, they said we're going to put them in 2021, but they didn't give a date. So it left it a little open-ended for the time being, which is what you want to do because you want to sit back and go, look, we're canceling, we're moving into 2021, but please let us get all of the logistics in place, then we'll give you a date. Don't let us put the logistics in place before we cancel. So it was pretty much the right thing. Cancel as soon as you can, as soon as you know. Tell people it's coming back in 2021, and then spend a few days working out the logistics of it. Okay, in 2021, are we running into something in this week? Are we running into something that week? Is there a problem here? Is there a problem there? Can we do it? What's the date? And you know what? Luckily, they seem to have landed about the same time as they would have had the original Olympics this year. It was going to be late July to the early part of August. It's now late July to the early part of August, so they did a pretty good job of doing that. It could have been anything based on conferences that were scheduled to come in that year, based on but they also pointed this out, and I didn't even think about it. There's an economic impact to this because of the people that have the Olympic Village, the place where the athletes stay, the dorms,
yeah,
right? We're going to get turned into apartments as soon as the Olympics were over. So you had all of these people that were bidding for for those apartments when the Olympics were over. And so they based all of their current leases and basically where they were going to live based on the idea that come August X or September 1st or whenever they were going to be cleaned and renovated and whatnot, that's where they were going to live. They had gone through the process of getting approved for those apartments, and now they have to figure out where they're going to live for an additional year on top of it because they have no place to go. They can't go there. And plus there's a couple of other things that I'm sure were problematic to reschedule the Olympics. But I'm glad they did. I'm glad they have a date now so that you can have a target date and you now have something to look forward to next year for the Olympic Games and whatnot. And and have it all. I'm hoping that we'll be in all clear by then. God, that's what, 16 months, 15 months from now?
Yeah.
What if it's the first sporting event back?
See, you brought that up earlier.
I did. There's a certain amount of romance to it. If that was the first sporting event, because it's, you know, we're dealing with a global pandemic and everyone is on board at the same time.
Yeah, but that would be, if you thought about that,
it would be miserable.
Wouldn't it be horrible? Wouldn't the miserable feeling override the romanticization of Olympic game being the softy at heart,
Tony.
You really are, to get to that.
No, I couldn't.
To get
I couldn't
to July
it.
Of the late July 2021, you would give up everything. You'd give up the Masters twice. You'd give up the NCAA, Bowl. The Super Bowl. You'd give up the NCAA tournament again. You'd give up another baseball season, another NBA season. Yeah. All of that.
I'm not saying just I want to give
to
it
the,
up.
To light the flame in Tokyo and be like, let's all hold hands for the 10 minutes we're going to like each other before we're going to go back to hating each other again.
Before we go back
once
to war.
Once politics gets involved.
Before we go back to wars again.
That's a price to pay without a real payoff on the other side.
Oh, I know.
Because that feeling of, we're in this together, lasts about 8 seconds somebody goes,
you know what,
could you not send your people over here? We'd rather not bring in your refugees.
It would
prefer it not to be the case.
It would make for a hell of a opening ceremony.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I cannot wait for the coronavirus dance portion of the opening ceremony, because you know it's going to be there.
Yeah,
regardless. I mean, if sports starts up next month, right? And then we sit there and go, oh, Tokyo, you probably could have had the Olympics. Our bad.
Right.
Let's go. We're going to go blame Dick Pound for making that suggestion.
Good point.
But at some point, you know it's going to be a part of their opening ceremonies. There's going to be a coronavirus dance or tribute or something to highlight what we all went through as a globe.
I think you're right.
You know, mixed samurai warriors and kabuki theater.
Yep. Completely. Absolutely complete. You're right. Again, Joe Person is going to join us from The Athletic to talk Carolina Panthers. That is coming up in just a couple.
Not to be confused with Tiger King's Carolyn.
No, we're not.
Different person.
So Cam Newton has still yet to be signed by anybody, and there seems to be no movement on the Cam Newton availability.
Have free agents really been signed since Tom Brady signed? I mean, there's been like a handful.
Teddy Bridgewater is signed.
Well, no, but he got signed before Tom Brady.
Oh, since Brady's been signed?
Yeah, it feels like that once everyone figured out where Brady was going, everyone was like, oh, well, we're done. We're just going to wait for the draft now.
Yeah, but I don't know why.
I don't either.
If you like Jameis Winston as a prospect, if you like the ability him as maybe even as a backup, why aren't you on the phone with his agent?
And is this
why if you think Cam Newton is healthy based on what you know inside the Beltway, inside the people that know, why wouldn't you be on the phone with his agent?
Well, here's the problem. All right, when the Buccaneers said we're going after Tom Brady, they knew what they were getting. You don't know with both Cam Newton and Jameis Winston, you really don't know what you're going to get.
True,
and you can't see them perform.
True, but that's also true of most quarterbacks who are available in the free agency. Is they're usually coming off an injury or they're disposable
for
some other reason.
But they're able to hold a workout for scouts, and right now these guys can't.
Right, that's true.
They can
do
a videotape workout. Which, you know, Tua Tagovailoa used, and everyone was like, wow, look at this. He's doing really good. But how do we know it wasn't edited? I just think, obviously the disease is posing a problem here, but I think it's posing a real effect on these two guys because what we do know of them, we don't like.
True.
And, I mean, if you have to put a value on both of them, you know, my Chargers need a quarterback. I almost, in a way, say go after Jameis Winston rather than Cam Newton. Even though Cam Newton's a former MVP, I think there's more upside with Winston.
You're right about the workouts. I'm interested in Cam Newton in particular. Is there just enough baggage there where you say, you know what? I think I'm good. I'm good. He's, you know, I don't know what role I want from him. I don't know what I'm exactly getting. Because the Carolina thing, there seems to be more to it than just an injured quarterback departing ways. A former franchise MVP. We'll find out next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Carolina Panthers have a new head coach. They have a new philosophy. They have a new quarterback. So Cam Newton is out. Matt Rhule is in. Ron Rivera was let go. A lot of things going on with the Carolina Panthers, and we bring in Joe Person from The Athletic on our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Joe? Thanks for joining us.
Tony, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Before we get to Cam Newton and the departure of him, give us a little background into what the organization is doing philosophically. Where are they heading? Ron Rivera left. They brought in Matt Rhule, but there was also some philosophical stuff. Give us a setup for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is an organization definitely in transition at a minimum, and probably more to the point, a rebuild. And we kind of got the hint of it late last season, and it was right around the time Ron Rivera was fired. We had a sit down with the owner, David Tepper, who himself, as you know, has not been around here very long, bought the team from Jerry Richardson in 2018. But at one of those first meetings, or one of those meetings last fall, Tepper was talking about timelines and such, and he said, you know, sometimes you got to tear things down to build them back up again. And it was sort of one of those moments where you just kind of stopped writing in your notepad and said, wait a minute, did I hear that right? And really, you know, that phrase, and he has repeated it, David Tepper has, you know, at least one other time when they hired Matt Rhule. And I kind of had that in the back of my mind these last few months when it came to Cam Newton, and people around here would ask me, you know, did I think Cam was going to be with the Panthers and you know, were they going to keep him for that final year of his deal? And I said, I really don't think so. I said, it just didn't make sense in a rebuild to have a soon to be 31-year-old quarterback coming off multiple surgeries when you got a new coach, when you got a new offensive coordinator, and when you've got a new system. And so, you know, not that I wanted to see Cam go, but I just sort of felt like the writing was on the wall and has been for some time.
Those elements that you talked about, being 31, final year of his contract, and also coming off those injuries, there are people who want to make this more than that, that there's something a little bit more between the organization and him. Is there more to it, or is it as simplistic as those elements that you laid out?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. Even people in Cam's camp back around the time Ron Rivera was getting let go, which was, you know, of course, in December with about a month of the season left, they felt that this was going to happen. And it wasn't anything, you know, that they didn't even know who the head coach was going to be. And it was like, you know, it's going to be a new head coach. That guy's going to want his own guy, his own quarterback. And so, no, I don't think there's any deeper meaning to it. I mean, you know, obviously Cam Newton is his own guy. He marches to the beat of his own drummer. That is part of what makes him unique, both on the field and frankly off the field. So, you know, did they think he was necessarily going to be the guy who would be a good fit as things got torn down around him? Probably not. And frankly, I don't think he would have been. And in that respect, I think this may end up being better for Cam Newton, assuming that, you know, he can get healthy. I know he's posting Instagram videos just about every night of showing himself working out and saying he's healthy. And I hope that's the case. Obviously, he's getting caught a little bit here with the coronavirus and the travel restrictions, where he can't, you know, get to a facility and let the Chargers and the Patriots or the Dolphins' own medical team look at him. He did pass a physical with, you know, before the Panthers cut him last week, done by a kind of a third-party type doctor. But We'll see. It's been a very jarring off season for the Panthers in a lot of respects, and certainly the change at the top of the offensive depth chart being the biggest.
Joe Person joining us here from The Athletic, talking Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton. It does seem a little odd from the stance of the way NFL does business with quarterbacks. We've seen other quarterbacks stay with an organization and go through coaching changes. We've seen quarterbacks not have a good year, suffer injuries, but they're the franchise guy. They're going to stay. It's hard to get a guy that can play that position and play it really well. Once you feel like you have it, you keep it. This seems a little odd that a rebuilding process, a team that is not that far removed from going to a Super Bowl, but yes, still rebuilding, wouldn't want to retain a former MVP. But you said earlier that it felt like the writing on the wall, but in the end, does it still feel odd if this is the business that they chose?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, you have to understand, I've been kind of immersed in this question for 4 months.
Sure.
So, maybe one of these things, not seeing the forest for the trees. But, I've also watched, kind of Cam become a different quarterback later in his career after these surgeries. Do I think he can still be successful? I do. And because I saw the 2017 season when the Panthers really, first of all, they drafted Christian McCaffrey, which was a big help in Cam Newton's career. And he became kind of Cam Newton 2.0, and that was a process that continued when Norv Turner got here. And the arm strength might not be what it was. He may not be as fast as he once was, but he is still a 6'5", 250-pound quarterback, built like no other quarterback in NFL history. And, they were able to be successful with him still running, not as much, but he's still occasionally running. And he became a more precise passer underneath. It used to be Cam's strength was that right cannon of a right arm that could wing the ball down the field to Steve Smith and Ted Ginn and Greg Olsen. And then it became more, he would be pretty off on the underneath throws, inconsistent with his accuracy. And then it's kind of flipped the last couple years. It was good enough to get him to the playoffs here in Carolina in 2017. 2018, they look to be heading back to the playoffs. They're 6-2, kind of rolling right along. And then Cam kind of gets hurt in a Thursday night game at Pittsburgh, and he hadn't been the same since. And frankly, neither has this organization.
Teddy Bridgewater, in terms of him coming in, Matt Rhule, Joe Brady, what we saw from him with the Saints last year, is there a feeling in Carolina amongst the fans that we're going to be okay at this position?
I guess it depends who you ask. I mean, there are a lot of fans who were hurt last week. Even though you could sort of, as I said, see this coming with Cam. I mean, and you mentioned it. I mean, that's a big move to make for any organization, and this fan base was at least a portion of it was pretty, rankled, so to speak. But I think what the Panthers get in Teddy Bridgewater is a consistent guy, a guy who's had his own kind of catastrophic type injury that cost him for the most part two entire NFL seasons. We've seen what he's done as a backup in New Orleans. Now he gets his chance again to kind of run his own offense. Interesting to me, and I think telling, is his relationship with the Panthers' new offense coordinator, Joe Brady. Joe Brady, as you know, had those couple of years as a low-level offensive assistant in New Orleans before he went and kind of blew up and got on the map at LSU. Well, during those 2 years at New Orleans, the first year coincided with Teddy Bridgewater arriving there as Breeze's backup. And Bridgewater told us this last week on a conference call that when he got there, it was a trade late, right before kind of week one. The Jets had Bridgewater briefly during the offseason, ended up dealing him to New Orleans. And the Saints were already like into week one game planning. So there was no Sean Payton or Lombardi, their offensive, their quarterbacks coach. These guys, were kind of tied up in meetings. And Teddy Bridgewater said it was Joe Brady that kind of took him through the ropes, that got in the playbook with him, that was staying after practices, you know, kind of throwing with them. And those two obviously remained close after Brady went to LSU, and now they're reunited here in Charlotte. And it does feel like that's probably was the plan all along when the Panthers hired Joe Brady.
I get when something like this happens, everyone's going to react differently. So there's no playbook on how you should respond. But Cam seems to be bitter at this. And I get there's an emotion here. I mean, he's leaving an organization that brought him in, and he has ties to the community. But did they do him wrong? Is there a little justifiable anger in the way this business dealing was handed to him?
Well, yeah. The timing of it does stink for Cam, because maybe, and back to the point I just made, and it sure feels like that, you know, if you're going to get Joe Brady and when was that, January, and then 2 months later you're hiring a guy connected, you're signing a guy, the quarterback connected to Joe Brady, then to me it feels like those conversations were happening and getting finalized a couple months ago, or at least the process was, the wheels were in motion. And so if you know you're going to do that, and this was the case with Greg Olsen too, his timeline was very similar. The Panthers cut him loose at, I think it was right after the Super Bowl, so early February. You know, he had time to latch on with the Seahawks well before the start of free agency. And in Cam Newton's case, maybe a team like the Chargers, he was still rehabbing at the time, so that's worth mentioning. But you know, I feel like they could have worked it out, and then he isn't restricted, you know, by these travel restrictions that have been put in place. Listen, I don't think anyone in this country, kind of knew the extent that this coronavirus was going to bring to our world and turn upside down what we used to know as normal. But all that said, the timing is where I really think they could have done better by Cam Newton.
Joe, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Great work at The Athletic. Fantastic site. Great coverage. Really appreciate your time on this.
I appreciate you, Tony. Take care.
Absolutely. And as I said, the Athletic's good stuff. It's a very, very good stuff. Joe Person joining us on a Progressive Hotline. And again, quote, buy, or save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. We'll analyze some of the meat of that interview coming up next on Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver.
This is Mike Herzig from Let's Talk Wheels, your bot your buyer, friends at Jeep. Got a tip today to save you money on your car or truck. Folks, spring is here, and that means it's time to think about doing some spring cleaning on your vehicle. Your paint job needs a good coat of wax every 6 months to protect the paint and the clear coat. You see, when they paint your vehicle, the last coat they put on is called the clear coat. Clear coat is paint, but it's paint without a pigment, so it's clear. This is what gives your paint job that really deep look and also protects it. So unless you want to end up having your clear coat turn chalky and look horrible, you need to protect it with a good wax job. Now, to do it right, you want to wax it by hand and use the best wax you can get. Just remember, if you don't see the water bead up on the paint, it's time to wax. Make it a family event. Wash the car, then get under the shade tree and save your paint job. This is Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels, are brought to you by our great friends at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
The Jeep Celebration event is here, and we're inviting you to get great deals on the SUVs built to stand the test of time, which means more time to discover all that awaits in the luxurious Jeep Grand Cherokee with available premium leather trim seats and real wood accents, as well as Harman Kardon audio. More time to go beyond the ordinary to places that can only be reached with the help of Jeep Cherokee's legendary capability. More time to drive off into the sunset and into the next sunrise with Jeep Compass's innovative technology and connectivity, like the available 8.4-inch Uconnect touchscreen. And, of course, more time taking in some rays while taking advantage of the open-air freedom of Jeep Renegade with available MySky open-air sunroof. Time is the ultimate test, and your time to enjoy great deals at the Jeep Celebration event is running out. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us again. Wake up call, Tony D, Ron Culver. And this hour is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks to Joe Person of The Athletic to help us with a little bit of the Cam Newton. So we got a little bit of the answer that you kind of led into, which is, look, he's not being able to go interview or be checked out, so he's kind of in limbo. Was it bitter? Yeah, the timing wasn't right. So that's what Cam
that's
got to
be tough when you say, hey, we brought in Joe Brady. Yeah, we kind of have a plan and an idea in place already.
Yeah,
and that always happens with coaches.
Yeah.
They already have a guy like, nah, Cam Newton's not my guy. I want this guy.
It's really strange, though. Again, what I was talking to him earlier about, okay, so I guess Cam didn't really cross over into franchise-level superstar where you would have a coaching change, but you wouldn't even think about changing the quarterback.
See, and I thought that was interesting because he was paid that way.
Right, right.
And I guess, you know, is it our fault for thinking, hey, if you're paid that way, that's how you're perceived?
Exactly.
I guess not.
Aaron Rodgers survived a coaching change, a lot of it because he kind of initiated it, but still, nevertheless.
LeBron James, the situation.
Right, Philip Rivers survived coaching changes. Ben Roethlisberger survived a coaching change from Cowher until Ben Tomlin. To Mike Tomlin,
that doesn't really count, though.
Yeah, I know, but never. But still,
Tomlin. The Steelers in a coaching change? Come on, Tony.
But Tomlin could have came in early in Ben's career and said, Ben's not really the guy I want. Right, Ben was early enough. I know he'd won a Super Bowl, but he didn't play particularly well in that Super Bowl. Brady, of course, never had to worry about it. But your franchise guys usually survive coaching changes. It's usually to bring in a guy who can work with the quarterback. This was the exact opposite. This is to bring in a coach and then go find a quarterback that works with the coach. And the coach is coming from college. Yeah, different.